Good morning. You know, as Christians, we want to do what it is that God wants us to do. We tell God that we confess our faith and belief in Him and in His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom are all blessings. We say that we are servants of God, and we intend to do the very things that God would want us to do. But I got to ask you, and I ask myself as well, how often are we about God's business? How often are we doing the things that our Lord wants us to do? So this morning I'm going to talk about action. You know, Noah was a guy of faith and action. Abraham was a guy of faith and action. Adam and Eve were people of faith and action for quite some time. And then, of course, sin entered into the world. And you can take a look at all of the Old Testament prophets, both major and minor. And they did some pretty amazing things speaking to the people that they needed to speak to. You want to think about Stephen in the New Testament, the fact that he was stoned for preaching the gospel. He was killed. And then Paul and the other apostles came onto the scene and were preaching the gospel as well. And we all know that they, by legend, ended up in death for preaching the gospel story, the good news about Jesus Christ. But every person who was of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was a person of action. So let's talk about that this morning. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to James 2. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. James 2, 14. Here we are. Not in 2 Thessalonians, but James chapter 2. And verse 14. All right, there we go. Now listen to this. James is writing to Christians. And you know that James is a very practical, everyday, day-to-day sort of thing about how to live the Christian life. So James says in verse 14, what use is it, brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. Now, let me repeat that one particular verse again. Even so, faith, if it has no works, that faith is dead being by itself, which means that is tantamount to having no faith at all. If you're not working in the vineyard, if you're not doing the things that God would have you to do, then when you say that you have or believe or have faith in Jesus, apparently you don't really. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. Someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. You should also know that the demons also believe, and they shudder. But are you willing to recognize that faith without works is useless? Now, I left out a phrase there on purpose. Are you willing to recognize, and you know the word came from the Holy Spirit, and so James, as an inspired writer, wrote these words down. Are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow? Now, I can tell you that I might be a foolish person, and I am, and you might be a foolish person as well, but when God calls you a foolish person, how deep is that? When God calls you a fool, I mean, that's worse than not having any information. That's worse than being ignorant. That is, you probably have heard the truth, but you are doing something other than the truth. And God calls you a fool for that. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. So are y'all friends of God this morning? Are you living out your faith? I don't mean getting up in the morning and knowing that you're a child of God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, are you fulfilling your days with the things that God would have you to do? If you were Abraham, would you have offered up your son? If you were Mary, would you have listened to the angel and believed that you were going to have a child by the Holy Spirit and that you were to name him Emmanuel? You see that a man, verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. So that word justification is fairly important in that verse. To be just, to be right, to be the right kind of person, to have the accoutrements of what it means to be just. You know, just is something that's comparable between me and you. That's one thought of justification. And if I treat you fairly, if I treat you rightly, that is being just. And in likewise, if I am being just with the Father of Heaven, that I'm being fair with God. God says, you say you believe in Jesus, then why do you not show your faith in Jesus? I know that you have to go to work, and I know that you're tired at the end of the day. I know that you're rushed in the morning. But is there any time set aside for action? Where all the time we're always saying, make time for your Bible reading. But is there a time when you set time aside and say, I'm going to do something that God wants me to do? And how do you know what it is that God wants you to do? Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. A man is justified by the things that he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, wasn't Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So if I say this is my hand here and it represents my life, here I am on this earth, and I'm doing the things that I think that I need to be doing. But the Spirit leaves my hand. My hand falls down dead. So now, this hand now represents faith. This is my faith in Christ Jesus, my Savior. And He gives me commands to do as I live upon this earth. Am I doing that? If not, my faith is dead. Let's turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and get one more verse here. James chapter 4 and verse 17. This is a fascinating verse to me, at least anyway. Do you know the right thing to do? And if so, how do you know that's the right thing to do? Well, God told you beforehand, before you became a Christian even, what was the right thing to do. And so James has this for us right here in James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And you know, as well as I do, that sin separates me from God. And when I am separated from God, even though I have faith, I'm a dead man walking. When I pick up those things that God has for me to do, then I am truly alive in God, in Christ Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, and I am doing the things that my Lord wants me to do. So you see, friends, your faith is completed by works. Abraham, once again, was considered a righteous man when he offered up Isaac. He did what God told him to do. Now, God tells you and I things to do as well in the pages of the New Testament. But let's move on. You know, Noah acted on God's commands. Now, there are some things that we can talk about before we start reading the account of Noah. But do you know that every person on earth only thought of evil during this time? People were violent toward each other. And apparently, the greatest majority, if not almost all of them, except that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. So please, turn with me back over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. Genesis 6, verse 11. Now the earth was totally ruined in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. I want to give you a very gross example here, if you don't mind, if you'll stay with me. When it says that the earth was corrupt, you can understand that somebody's cheating, somebody's not doing right. We get that. We get that in understanding. But have you ever seen corruption in like a zit? Really? You know, that's what I'm talking about. Corruption. Putrid stuff that comes out of your face. You know, you squeeze the zit and all this yucky stuff comes out. What's that called? That's called poison. That's called corruption. And if you don't remove that stuff, it truly gets infected and you have a much larger problem on your hands. So when you think of this verse, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. It was so horrible, so bad that God thought this was putrefaction. The earth was a sickening place unto the sight of God. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had poisoned their way upon the earth. Now, I know the word says corrupted their way upon the earth, but you get the idea. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. And so it's like God said, you know, I'm thinking about this. All those people down there, they're just evil. They're all corrupted. They're all poisonous to each other. The end of all flesh has come before me. That's what I've decided to do. The earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. He tells Noah, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. And you know this story. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window of the ark. See, I got the wrong picture there. There's only one window. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy, that is to do away with, that is to kill all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. everything that is on the earth shall perish. But Noah, I'm going to establish my covenant with you. I'm going to agree, and you're going to accept it because I know who you are, Noah. You're going to accept what I say. I'm making a covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. If I were to write this, that I would say, even poodles. I don't like poodles. I mean, it's just weird dogs. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible and gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Now, here's the next line. Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. So he did. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All of those scholarly people who know about all these kinds of things say Ham was the originator of what we call the Egyptians, and the other two went their way as well. And so, as we look back through time, we are all sons and daughters of Noah. If we were to keep going back, we would be connected with Adam and Eve. Do you realize how long or how far back your lineage is? That's a very, very, very long way. And throughout all of those thousands of years that people have been on the earth, some have been very evil, but some have been good. Some are called the sons of God. Those that believe in God and practice the things of God. But have you thought about what if Noah said no to God? Father, there's no such thing as an ark. What are you talking about? Make an ark. Arks don't exist. Whatever that word means, we don't have one. And they even tell me to make this ark. You're telling me to collect animals, two of every kind? How do I call them to get here? How does that work out? I don't know what you're asking, God. I'm just not going to do it. Too much for me. Too many details. You understand we wouldn't be here today, right? Noah would be one of those guys that was killed in the flood. Shem, Ham, and Japheth and all their wives. But obviously, that's not the case. You see, Noah acted on God's commands. And when people act on God's commands, good things happen. Now, so far, I'm talking about a very generalized kind of sermon. We all know God wants us to do the things that He wants us to do. We all know that we should be about doing the things that God wants us to do. But I'm afraid that we get so comfortable in our pews and in our homes and the routines that we live in and day out, that we really aren't doing the things that God wants us to do. Oh, we're good people. I have no doubt about that. You're not going to do evil. You're not going to purposefully do anything that's wrong. But are you lifting a finger for the cause of Jesus Christ day in and day out in your life? You know, we get afraid to talk to people. We're afraid to start conversations with people. If you're in the store, H-E-B, Walmart, wherever it is that you go, and there are people there that you might even recognize as those that might need some spiritual help. And you say, those are all bummy guys. I don't want to go talk to those people. They're horrible. Aren't those the kind of people that Jesus talked to? Isn't that the kind of people that Jesus saved? Jesus spent time with sinners? Can we not go to those people in the stores and say, I want you to come to services with me. I want you to see what the Church of Christ is all about. I want you to know, I want you to notice, I want you to get a hold of what it is that God really wants for you. And it takes the action of one of us to be about in that store and to go up and say, here's a card about where I attend services. And if you flip that card over, your name and your phone number is on that card. Now, the business cards that we have back there in the back, and there are quite a few of them, have the number of the church building here. But I've been dealing with Darla for a couple of months now, and there's not anybody up here to answer that phone. And so if somebody were to call the church building, they wouldn't end up with anybody. So what you need to do, please, is get a card back there in the back, write your name on the card, as I said, write your phone number on the card so that they can get in contact with you. And you give a needy person that card. And you say, I want you to come to services with me this next Lord's Day, next Sunday, or even Wednesday night. You can say, hey, you know, we've got a pretty good Bible study on Wednesday evenings. Why don't you come? You need this information. We all need this kind of information. Why don't you just come go with me? And so you make a friend right there on the spot. And you want to be able to make sure that you have a conversation. You know, what's going on in your life? How's your family doing? What's it like every day for you? What are you trying to do in life? What is it that you're accomplishing? Some of them may say, I have no idea. Others might say, man, I'm just trying to make it. I got it. We all understand that. So here, let's talk about real life in Christ Jesus. And so then you have that person connected. And if you're really brave, give them your phone number. It's on the back of the card that you've written down. So go ahead and give them your number. Hey, give me a call. Let's talk about this. And give them a call if you can, if they are willing to share information with you. Luke 6 and verse 46. What's that verse? Do you know? Why do you call me Lord and not do the things I command you? Don't you find that an interesting verse? Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I command you? Well, what things, Lord, are you commanding me? Well, not only is there worship services to attend to, there's people to take care of. We share the gospel. Take a look at Acts chapter 8. Stephen was stoned in chapter 7 for preaching the gospel to the people who should grasp the gospel. They didn't like what he had to say, and they killed him. The old Saul there was there, and he was holding their coats, and he was right along with folks being killed, those who claimed the name of Jesus Christ. And then later on, it became so bad that Christians ran out of Jerusalem and they went to other places. Now Philip went down to Samaria, because Jerusalem was up on a hill, and that's the way they talked or spoke about geography. They went down to Samaria, and he proclaimed the gospel to the Samaritans. And Peter and John came along to help out. Now, why was Philip preaching the gospel? And because he was a believer in Jesus Christ. And the really next question is, you see in Acts 8 that Philip is doing wonders and signs and miracles. Philip was Philip the evangelist, not the apostle. How do I know this? Because even though Philip had the power of the Holy Spirit within him, he could not pass it along to anybody to help the church grow. And that's why Peter and John came, to help them out and to give those people the power of the Holy Spirit so they could establish and strengthen the brethren that were there. They followed doing what it is that God wanted them to do. Take a look with me, please, at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.